Is Rick Speck at FOSDEM at 2020. Simon, he's also in the room, and Christian introduced the Eclipse IceOryx project for the first time. Today it's my pleasure to introduce IceOryx 2 and to elaborate on how it can help you with relieving some pain. You always have middleware, and I saw over and over again the last 20 years of middleware development. I will start with a high-level overview of what Eclipse IceOryx is, and then I will deep dive into four specific pain points and how IceOryx relieves them, and I will end up with some community insights. So IceOryx is an open source project hosted by the Eclipse Foundation, started in 2019, and in 2023 we started IceOryx 2 as the second generation. And if we combine the whole contribution work of all the committers over roughly 10 years, it's about of more than 70 years of shared experience in developing high-performance inter-process communication. This is how it works on a high level. IceOryx creates shared memory, maps it into the processes where we have senders and receivers. This allows a sender to directly write into the shared memory, a receiver to directly read from the shared memory. IceOryx then provides the whole communication infrastructure around it, so entities for sending, receiving data, discovery, connecting them, exchanging the data, which is actually just passing reference of, to the messages, the whole management of memory around it, memory synchronization, and so on. This allows you to pass a message without a single copy. We also call this true zero-copy communication. IceOryx 2 already surpasses the first generation, which we also call IceOryx Classic now. It's written in Rust, runs already on a bunch of operating systems, Linux, Windows, macOS, QNX. It runs even bare metal. And besides the Rust APIs, we also have already language bindings for C, C++, Python, and also now C#. It has different messaging patterns, the many-to-many publish-subscribe communication, internet-style request-response, and also our key value storage in shared memory, which we call Blackboard. And in addition, an event mechanism that allows you to wake up a receiver that's waiting for data. It's developed for mission critical systems in mind, and does no heap allocation during runtime, no blocking calls, and also does not have a dependency on the Rust standard library. Compared to the IceOryx Classic version, we have no more central daemon, so fully decentralized, and the next step towards a mixed criticality architecture. Okay, so it's an IPC middleware. What else? Yeah, it's a solid foundation to avoid some of the hard pain points that you often have with middleware. The first and most obvious one is the pain you have with copies and serialization inside your middleware. So if you copy a message, this takes CPU cycles, and sure, the bigger the message, the more CPU cycles. And advanced robotic systems can have gigabytes or even tens of gigabytes of data you have to pass between processes and threads of execution. Consequence is that you have high latency and high CPU load. Here on this figure, we see how the latency increases with the message size for the IPC mechanisms that typically are used with Linux, so message queue and Unix domain socket. Here, a real-life system where IceOryx is used. It's autonomous driving based on an end-to-end AI model. And we have six high-resolution cameras with roughly 5 megabytes per frame, 20 frames per second. So this gives you a camera data stream of already more than 4 gigabytes that you have to pass to your inference process. Now think about, you have to copy them on the sender side. You have to copy them on the receiver side. Then you maybe want to record the data, so you have the next process and the next copies. So it's quite easy to end up with 10 to 20 gigabytes per second just for this small subset of your system. What IceOryx does is this true zero-copy IPC. We are just passing references to the messages. This gives you a constant sub-microsecond latency independent of the message size. Here we see the measurement on a Raspberry Pi, which is not the most powerful hardware, but even there, our latency is below 1 microsecond. if the messages are small, it's not that much of a difference, but you have megabyte messages, we are talking about sub-microsecond and not below milliseconds. So a factor from more than 1,000 faster in the end. So this enables dozens of gigabyte per second IPC without CPU load, and also a fast reaction time, so it reduces the latency from sensing to acting. And in the end, with the CPU time you save, you can use smaller, cheaper CPU for the same workload, which can be crucial if you want to go embedded. So if you have a pre-development on a RUC PC and then have to go embedded, this is really one important point to not end up with getting crazy. On the other way around, you could also say the CPU time you save can be used for more workload. The next pain point are additional threads inside your middleware. So many middleware solutions come with background threads for discovery, housekeeping, and so on. But the question is, when do these threads wake up and what are they doing? And if you want to tweak your real-time settings, how can I configure these threads that are somewhere nested deep inside your middleware? The worst case is that additional threads are involved in passing the message. This means you have one or even more context switches with every message you send. One context switch is not that expensive, but if you have thousands of messages per second, you will end up in thousands of additional context switches per message. Consequence of all this is it's not deterministic, and you have a high scheduling overhead. Here's an example from a measurement we got with IceOS Classic. A user reported that they have some strange latency spikes in a loaded real-time system. And it was even a funny pattern, and we started analyzing and then realized these latency spikes were coming from interference with a monitoring thread we had that sent a keep alive message over a Unix domain socket. The easiest communication would be I have a node A sending a message to node B. The most efficient execution would be I run these two nodes after another in the same thread of execution. So first node A runs, sends a message, then node B runs, consumes the message. If you have additional threads involved in this message passing, it's not clear if you will see this message. Kind of, that's a classical race condition here. IceRx2 has no internal threads, so nothing happens behind the scenes, and all the housekeeping we have to do is done when we create or destroy the entities. What this enables is, together with this zero copy communication, low latency with low jitter. And it's deterministic, so this passing of messages along a thread of execution will always have the message when the receiver's running, and in the end we reduce the whole scheduling overhead, which means lower CPU usage. Here on the figure you see what happened when we disabled this monitoring thread, and we had the stable latency compared to the first version where we have the interference with the thread in the middle. The next pain point is an improper queuing inside your middleware. There are middleware solutions, especially around shared memory, where you have no queuing at all, which means a sender can outpace the receiver and override messages that are not read. If you have queues, you have to face the challenge of a queue overflow. Often what you do is then either block the sender, wait for the receiver to consume the messages, or you return